I don't know. Are you still going to be able to do soccer camp with me this summer?
I hope not, nearly fell out of Ivy's mouth. Just last week, she'd agreed to go with Taryn to the camp. And really, soccer was fine. It was almost, kind of, sort of what Ivy would call fun. And she didn't suck at it. But to do the camp, she had to miss this young artist workshop her art teacher had told her about at Thoman Brown College in town, which was definitely, absolutely something Ivy would call fun. But it was fine. The soccer camp was for girls 13 and under only, which meant Taryn and Ivy could do it together, away from stupid sisters and the doe-eyed look Taryn got every time she saw Drew.
I don't know, Ivy finally said after a deep breath.
But what about-
I don't think she knows anything right now. June's voice was soft and even, but firm. She sat down on Ivy's other side and adjusted the ice pack on her ankle, which had slipped and was sweating all over the floor. Taryn's cheeks turned pink, and she fiddled with the strap of her red tank top. She glanced at Ivy like she was waiting for her to give a different answer, but Ivy certainly didn't have one.
Right,
Taryn said softly.
Sorry.
It's all right, Ivy said, though nothing felt all right.
I'm sure it'll all work out, Taryn said.
Then her blue eyes widened and she clapped her hands together.
Maybe you could live with me for a while.
Taryn's mom was an interior decorator. Their house was very big and very stylish, full of squashy couches and beautiful throw pillows, silk curtains lining every window.
I don't think your mom wants my whole messy family in her house, Ivy said.
Taryn laughed.
Oh, gosh, no. I just meant you.
Oh. Ivy looked over to where Mom had Evan propped on her shoulder. She patted his back, her head leaning against his smaller one, her eyes closed. For the past few months, Ivy had daydreamed once or twice, okay, maybe three times, of getting away from her family. Just up and running away. Would they notice? Would they even care?
I'll have my mom talk to yours, Taryn said. It might help things.
Help what?
Taryn shrugged.
Just things.
Your parents have a lot going on with the twins, and now this. I mean, wow, right? It might be easier if they didn't have to worry about you for a while.
Ivy blinked at her. Right, easier. She tried to swallow the huge knot in her throat, but it just kept getting bigger and bigger. A balloon swelling on a helium tank. It was one thing for Ivy to wonder about being without her family. It was another thing for Taryn to say out loud that Ivy's absence would probably be a good thing.
Oh, maybe I should read your cards, Taryn said.
She dived into her big bag and pulled out her beloved tarot deck. When they were in fifth grade, Taryn got really into tarot cards. Even though she didn't know how to read them, Taryn loved to shuffle, 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 and then make Ivy draw one, proclaiming whatever card Ivy held in her hand was her destiny. Ivy was pretty sure tarot didn't work like that. June cleared her throat.
So, Taryn, are you going to ask Drew to the spring dance?
Taryn squealed a little and kept shuffling. She launched into all the reasons why she should ask Drew and all the reasons why she shouldn't. All of which Ivy had heard before. She never dealt the tarot cards, just kept on shuffling, Ivy's fresh tragedy forgotten for a while. Ivy used the time to get her breath back. June nodded along with her, excited about everything Taryn was saying, although Ivy had no idea how June even knew that Taryn liked Drew. June was funny like that, talkative and loud in class, but at lunch and during gym, she got quiet. She ate her weird lunch at the other end of the long rectangular table where Taryn and Ivy sat, and she just watched. Not in a creepy way, just like she was taking everything in. Ivy had never seen her hang out with anyone in particular. Not really. Right now, Ivy felt June glance at her a few times while she listened to Taryn. When Ivy finally met her eyes, June gave her a small smile. Ivy gave her a grateful smile back.
Chapter 8. Sisters. Taryn didn't stay long.
Before she left, she told Ivy,
"It'll all be okay."
But Ivy nearly growled at her. Ivy didn't want to hear that right now, because when anyone said it, she had to smile and nod and pretend like what they were saying was true. She felt a weird sort of relief when Taryn bounced away with a promise to ask her mom about Ivy staying with them. June's mom called her away, too, and after a few hours of doing nothing, Ivy stared at all the dirt-colored water spots on the gym ceiling for she didn't know how long. The room eventually quieted down. Dad came back with a million numbers scribbled all over a pad of paper. He and Mom sat for a long time, whispering with their heads bent together so Ivy and Layla couldn't hear. The twins were asleep in a nest of borrowed blankets next to Mom. Once or twice, Ivy saw her father wipe at his eyes and Mom lean her forehead against his. The whole thing made Ivy squirm. She'd seen her dad cry before, but at sappy stuff. Like when Layla won MVP for her lacrosse team last year, or when he held Aaron and Evan for the first time in the hospital room. Ivy had never seen him sad cry until today. But his great-grandparents had built their house. He'd been born there. Of course he was going to sad cry. The sun started to set, its rays beaming through the high windows in the gym, turning the wheat-colored floor into a deep gold. Ivy and her family ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches out of brown paper bags. Again. It tasted like school. Pretty soon after that, everyone started falling asleep under scratchy blankets and musty-smelling pillows. Ivy lay down, arranging her own pillow under her head so that her notebook was against the floor and turning this way and that to get comfortable. Her eyelids felt heavy, like someone was yanking on them, but she couldn't sleep. The gym smelled like rain and stale bread and what she imagined a boy's locker room might smell like. Every few seconds, someone coughed or whispered or flicked on a flashlight. Ivy couldn't stop fidgeting, her legs all jumpy and her fingers twitchy. She sat up and looked around the dim room at the red glow from the exit signs and the lumpy shape sprawled all over the floor. And it hit her. Pow. Boom. Crack. She was homeless. She didn't have a home anymore. She didn't have her bed, or that silly-looking headlamp her dad had bought for her when they went camping, or any of her clothes, or her little attic room where she could stay up late and draw pictures that she loved with her stupid brush pens. She didn't even have brush pens. Sobs crawled up her throat, and she finally let them out. Turning on her side, she curled into a ball and buried her face in her pillow, soaking the cotton. When she felt nice and empty, she opened her eyes and saw Layla a few feet away from her. She was doing the exact same thing as Ivy. Her back was to Ivy, but she was tucked into herself and her shoulders were shaking. Every now and then she lifted her hand and swiped at her eyes. Ivy wanted to get up and go to her. She wanted to snuggle into her sister's side, let Layla smooth her tangly hair, and ask her to tell a story. Ask her to let Ivy tell one too. But she couldn't. Not since the conversation she overheard between Layla and her best friend Gigi 2 weeks ago. Now, Ivy wasn't sure who Layla was anymore. Ivy wasn't sure who Ivy was, either. And she definitely wasn't sure about what her sister would think if Layla really knew all Ivy's secrets. One thing Ivy was sure about, she was way too scared to find out. That night, 2 weeks ago, Gigi was in Layla's room. At least 3 times a week, Gigi ate dinner at the Aberdeen house. Her mom was a nurse and worked nights, and even after the twins were born and they ate frozen casseroles brought by neighbors and church members for weeks on end, Gigi still came over to eat with them. Ivy loved Gigi. She was tall and curvy and had hair that looked like fresh honey and always, always, always had her nails painted some wild color, neon yellow, electric blue, aubergine purple. She reminded Ivy of an elf. Gigi and Layla had been best friends since preschool, and Gigi was great about including Ivy. Ivy totally got how rare that was, for a teenager to be cool with a kid bursting into her best friend's room and bouncing on the bed, begging them to straighten her hair or paint her nails or just let her listen to the latest high school gossip. But that was Gigi, even when Layla tried to kick Ivy out. Taryn loved Gigi too, and during the summer, the four of them would go to the rec center pool and lie in the sun and cannonball into the water. It always felt like they were actually friends instead of two kids Ivy's mom had begged Layla and Gigi to take with them. That night, Ivy had just finished a bit more detail on a stormy treehouse drawing. Their house was total chaos, babies screaming all the time, diapers everywhere, dirty burp cloths thrown over the backs of couches and chairs. Ivy didn't even know Gigi had come over. She just knew that she was ready to show Layla her drawing. Because every time she worked on it, she ended up crying or her chest would tighten and she couldn't get enough breath. She felt like she was going to explode. And she knew she couldn't talk to her mom right now, but she had to talk to someone. Layla was almost as exhausted as their parents, helping out in the middle of the night when the twins woke up for feedings. But she and Ivy had gotten even closer lately, bonding while the family changed into something new, and also kind of scary. Layla seemed to know when Ivy was feeling left out or invisible, and she always made her feel better. Whether it was just inviting Ivy into her room to listen to music, or making her famous hot chocolate with steamed half and half, one giant marshmallow floating in the middle. Yes, it was time to tell Layla. Ivy wanted to tell Layla, and only Layla. Ivy descended from the attic and walked down the old wood floors to Layla's room. Her door was open a crack, and Ivy was just about to knock when she heard Gigi's voice, which sounded weirdly watery and clogged. "Not sorry I didn't tell you. I wasn't ready. You have to understand that." "I'm trying to, but..." Layla sniffed, and her voice broke a little as though she was trying to talk through tears. Everything in Ivy locked up, and her heart felt like a brassy gong in her chest. "But I guess I really don't get it," Layla went on. "This is me. I'm your best friend. And I had to hear it from Jesse Ryder, who said he saw you two kissing in your car. How do you think that made me feel?" "Lay, this isn't about you." "I'm not saying that it is, but you have a girlfriend, Gigi. A girlfriend." Ivy's notebook almost slipped out of her fingers. She gripped it tighter at the last minute, but she was almost positive Layla and Gigi heard the crinkling of the paper. For a few seconds, no one said anything. Ivy couldn't even breathe. That word, girlfriend, kept exploding in her head like fireworks. I don't know what to think about this, Gigi," Layla said. "I can't process this. I can't." Gigi made a frustrated sound. "Ugh, by all means, ignore what I'm saying and make this about you. Again. How do you think I feel? I didn't want you to find out like that. I've wanted to talk to you about it for years. Years, Lay. But I was still figuring it out. I haven't even told my parents. Bryn's only told her mom. Her dad is still clueless." Ivy didn't exactly understand everything they were saying, but the gist was pretty clear. Gigi liked girls. Gigi had a girlfriend. And Layla hadn't known until today. Ivy waited for Layla to tell Gigi that it was okay, that she got it, that she loved Gigi just the way she was. But that didn't happen. Instead, they sat there for a while, their sniffling the only sound. Finally, Ivy heard the bed creak as someone stood up. "I guess I'll see you at school," Gigi said softly. The door swung open, and Ivy backed into the bathroom's dark doorway across the hall. The tile seeped cold through her socks, and it smelled like Layla's ginger perfume and toothpaste. Gigi came out of the bedroom and wiped her eyes with both hands. She stood there for a minute, breathing in and out, in and out. And then she left, and that was the last time Ivy saw her. Chapter 9. Letters to the World. Ivy waited until Layla's shoulders were moving up and down with slow, even breaths. Then she kicked off the blanket that smelled like hot dogs and stood up. Ivy patted her pillow, feeling the edges of her notebook, and then pulled the blanket over it and bunched up the edges. It definitely didn't look like a person was sleeping under there, but it would have to do. Tomorrow was Tuesday, and school had been canceled. But the principal had announced that they wanted everyone to stick to the bathrooms and the gym. But right now, Ivy was a homeless girl who didn't care. After she limped, tiptoed down the main hallway, she pushed open the double doors into the library. Ivy slipped inside and pressed her back against the door while gulping deep breaths. Then she gulped a bit more, because she felt like she hadn't breathed enough since the storm hit. This was the closest thing to her little attic room that she was going to get right now. After her lungs felt good and full, she wandered up and down the shelf-lined aisles. Moonlight streamed through the windows, making the whole room look silvery. It was eerie and beautiful and quiet. Posters quoting Shakespeare and Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Oliver Twist hung on the walls. Right above the little poetry section, there was a poster of a girl named Emily Dickinson in an old-fashioned dress with her hair coiled in a bun. Her poems were weird, all dashes and confusing words. Ivy read a few in her language arts class a few months ago during a poetry unit. Her teacher said that Emily hadn't gone out in public a lot and that her poems were never read when she was alive. She hid them away, but now she was famous. "This is my letter to the world that never wrote to me." That was what the poster said, in a handwriting font, as if Emily herself scribbled it one night by candlelight. Maybe on a night when she was feeling really lonely and just needed to get things out of her head, even though no one was listening. Ivy stared at the words now, and her throat ached. She wished she had brought her notebook to write it down. Instead, she repeated the words, over and over, until she was sure she memorized them. "What do you think that means?" a voice whispered. It startled Ivy enough that she yelped and swung around. "Oops, sorry," the voice said. "I didn't mean to scare you." Ivy didn't answer, her heart still halfway up her throat. Whoever was talking to her stood, but the light from a cell phone shined in Ivy's eyes, and she couldn't see anything except a blocky silhouette. "Could you maybe..." Ivy squinted and shaded her eyes with her hands. "Oh yeah, sorry." The light lowered, and there was June Somerset. Books puddled around her feet. "What are you doing here?" Ivy asked. "What are you doing here?" June asked.
Yeah, me too."
Ivy frowned.
"It looks like you're reading."
"I wasn't reading."
"You were reading that poster."
Ivy sighed. This girl was exhausting. "But why are you here? At the school, I mean. Isn't your house okay?"
"Yeah, but my mom wanted to stay the night in case someone needed her. Mrs. Lewis's house got messed up, and she's like 6 months pregnant or something. Pepper Hilson is diabetic, and they had to find some insulin for her. Then there's your mom and the twins."
"Right, the twins." Ivy twisted her fingers into the hem of her borrowed shirt. Layla had grabbed it for her. It was about two sizes too big and smelled like sweaty socks.
"Isn't your dad at home?"
June went very still, towing the edge of one of the books.
"My dad lives in California."
"Oh, sorry, I didn't know."
June shrugged and then nodded her chin toward the Emily Dickinson poster. "So, what do you think that means?"
Ivy turned and looked at the quote. She scrunched up her face as she read it again, not that she needed to. The words were printed on her brain like ink on paper.
Maybe...
Ivy stumbled over her words. She didn't want June to think she didn't know. But now that she thought about it, she wasn't exactly sure what the quote meant. There was just something about it that she liked.
"Yeah,"
June said, like Ivy had said something profound.
"What was her letter to the world?
And why would the whole world write her a letter anyway?" Ivy shrugged but kept looking at the poster. She felt like she knew the answer, but it was hiding, like a secret she was afraid to tell. June plopped back onto the floor and shined her phone's light on the pile of books.
"Want to join me? I'm reading some old favorites."
"Sure, I guess." Ivy sat down across from June. The carpet was so thin that Ivy could feel the cold from the concrete underneath. As June's light swept across one of the titles, Harriet Honeywell and the Mermaids of Hurricane Cove, Ivy sucked in a breath. I love these books, June said, picking up a thin paperback and opening to the first page.
Have you read them?
Ivy swallowed. Yeah.
I know they're for younger kids, but they make me so happy. I've read all four about a million times. I really love the drawings, you know? Harriet is so funny, but Greenlee is my favorite.
Ivy couldn't help but smile at that. In the first book, when Harriet accidentally set sail in her uncle's boat and mermaids came to help her get back to shore, it was Ivy's idea to create Greenlee. Greenlee was a mermaid who became Harriet's best friend for the rest of the series. Ivy even got to name her, and she'd helped Mom on every single Harriet book since. But Mom hadn't had time to talk about Harriet at all lately. Ivy got up and limped toward the checkout counter, where she found a piece of plain white paper in the printer. Then she borrowed a nicely sharpened pencil from the blue mason jar on the librarian's desk. She hobbled back to June, stretched out on her stomach, and started to draw. Except for the low tick of the wall clock and June's soft breathing, the room was quiet. Ivy didn't need to look at the book as she drew. She knew this character by heart. She had created this character in a way. It didn't look exactly like her mom's drawing, but it was close enough. Plus, Ivy liked that it wasn't an exact copy, that it was hers. As she shaded in Greenlee's short hair, she realized the mermaid looked a little like June. After that, she erased the nose and turned it up a bit more, made the eyes a little rounder, the top lip a bit thinner. Soon, it was June, or a mermaid version of June anyway. But with her diamond-patterned mermaid tail, frayed tank top, and the little beaded seashell necklace around her neck, the drawing was also Greenlee. It was a perfect blend. When she was finished, Ivy handed the drawing to a wide-eyed June.
Wow!
June breathed, holding the paper like it was made of the thinnest glass.
You're really good.
Thanks.
I'm not really good at anything.
June blinked at the drawing and ran her finger over Greenlee June's pixie hair. Everyone's good at something, Ivy said.
Not me. I never really...
June's face sort of crumpled, but she smoothed it out really quickly. She shook her head. A smile landed on her face and stayed put.
Maybe you could teach me.
Teach you what? Ivy asked.
How to draw, silly!
June waved the paper at Ivy.
You're good enough!
Oh, well, I don't think... I mean, drawing is just something I do. I never learned.
I know I'll never be as good as you, but I could learn some basics, right? Like, I can't even draw a decent cat. Stick figures all the way for me.
Ivy thought about how she first started drawing, how the shapes and shades sort of fell out of her. Still, her mom had taught her some techniques, and they helped. Ivy got better. Plus, a minute ago, June had looked so sad that she wasn't good at anything. And now she looked so excited about drawing that Ivy couldn't say no.
I guess we could try it, Ivy said.
June squealed and clapped, then smacked her hand over her mouth. She was so cute that Ivy couldn't help but laugh.
Oh, but instead of a cat, let's do a whale,
June said.
A whale?
A blue whale.
I don't have any colored pencils.
June laughed.
No, an actual blue whale, the largest mammal on the planet.
June grabbed her phone and tapped the screen a couple of times before holding it out to Ivy. There, a huge whale swam through deep blue water.
Used to be,
June said, setting her phone back down.
Scientists thought the aorta in their heart was big enough for a human to swim through.
Now we know it's not, and their whole heart is about the size of a golf cart.
I still love the idea, though.
Love what idea? Even in the dim light, June's eyes sparkled.
That a heart could exist that's big enough to fit a whole person inside. Isn't that cool?
A smile pulled at Ivy's mouth. You know a lot about whales.
Well, I've had a lot of time to think about them. And dolphins, too. And photography and poetry and archaeology and parallel dimensions and all sorts of stuff.
Ivy blinked. Oh, June said, pressing her hands to her face.
I made it awkward, didn't I? I'm always doing that. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, Ivy said. Suddenly, she wanted to put June at ease. She wanted June to smile. It's not awkward. It's
Interesting.
Then June did smile.
Yeah? Yeah. Now let's draw a whale. A blue whale.
Ivy laughed. The bluest of blue whales. After they got some more paper and borrowed another pencil, they stretched out on their stomachs, hip to hip, and June Somerset learned how to draw a blue whale. Chapter 10. Lost. Ivy and June whispered and giggled all the way back to the gym, papers crinkling between them.
I'm going to name her Emily,
June said, beaming down at her freshly drawn blue whale.
Why Emily?
For Emily Dickinson!
Maybe this blue whale is my letter to the world.
June grinned, and Ivy laughed. She'd laughed more in the past hour than she had in weeks. Maybe months. They'd drawn for hours, and June was hilarious as she learned, pressing her tongue to her top lip in concentration and scrunching a hand into her hair when she got frustrated. Still, she smiled through the whole process, like drawing a simple whale was the best thing that ever happened to her. She wanted to learn how to draw people next, and Ivy agreed to teach her. Now, as June practically glowed next to her, Ivy's stomach fluttered with happiness. She tried to remember a time when she and Taryn had so much fun that it made her all giddy and trembly. She couldn't. If she drew this feeling, it would be softly flowing waves the color of a delicate pink ballet slipper. In fact, that's exactly what she planned to do, draw this feeling in her notebook. Maybe a few sketches of June learning to draw. Ivy never thought she could do something that could make someone so happy. They stepped inside the gym where everyone was just starting to wake. The lights were still off, but the morning sun turned the room a pinkish gold. Ivy tried to breathe it in, like the color could untie the sudden knot in her throat. People were everywhere, yawning, coughing, stretching. Most were folding up their blankets and tossing them into piles in the corners of the room. But some just lay awake on the floor or propped against the concrete walls, staring into space. Ivy could hear Aaron crying. Ivy would rather go back to the library and teach June how to draw another whale. Or maybe a dolphin this time. Uh-oh, June said. She wasn't looking at Ivy, so Ivy followed her gaze across the room to where June's mother was glaring at her, hands on her hips.
I've gotta go, June said.
Before Ivy could even get out and, okay, see you. June jogged over and joined her mother, whose mouth immediately started moving. Ivy couldn't hear her, but she could tell Dr. Somerset was mad. Her hands fluttered in the air as she talked before she rested them on June's shoulders. June shoved them off, and her fingers balled into fists. She stalked away and smacked the back exit doors open. Sunlight poured into the room before swallowing June whole. Ivy wanted to go after her and apologize for getting her into trouble. But Layla called her name and waved her over.
We're going to a hotel,
Layla said. Her sister looked so tiny in her clothes, an auburn tiger sweatshirt and two big sweatpants from the donation pile. Ivy's own secondhand clothes felt sticky from her being awake all night.
What? Why?
Ivy asked.
Where else are we going to go, Ivy? Move in with Grammy?
I thought we might go...
But Ivy had no idea where they might go. Probably because she hadn't thought about it at all. Her grandma lived in Florida, in one of those assisted living places that always smelled like baked chicken. No way she wanted to go there. But she couldn't go home either. She didn't have a home. It was a gut punch every time she thought about it. Layla handed her a cereal bar. Blueberry. Gross. And then started pulling on her boots. Ivy blinked at the blue foiled wrapper.
Did you sleep okay, Ivy?
Her mother asked. She sat against the wall, working Evan's arm through a onesie. Both boys were lying on a blanket in their diapers, but Ivy knew it was Evan because his head was totally bald. Aaron had a head full of Dad's dark hair.
Slept great, Ivy said flatly.
Her mother hadn't even noticed Ivy wasn't next to her all night.
Did you find enough clothes to last you a while?
Layla asked as she finished lacing her boot.
Not really, I just have whatever you brought me yesterday.
Layla picked up Aaron and then laid him back down so he was facing her. She pulled a clean onesie from the diaper bag.
Do you want me to come with you to get more?
She asked.
I can help you find something cute.
I can find it myself.
Layla sighed.
Maybe you should call Taryn.
She and her mom just brought by a bunch of donuts for everyone, so she might not be home yet, but I'm sure someone has a phone you could use.
Maybe Taryn can help you feel better.
Well, maybe you should call Gigi.
Ivy would like to be able to say that Gigi's name came out of her mouth because she was so used to Gigi being a part of their lives. But that would be a lie. She watched Layla, waiting to see how she would react. But Layla didn't say anything. She blinked at Ivy a few times before turning away, kissing Aaron on the cheek. Ivy stomped off toward the donated clothes pile, shame and anger and sadness a giant knot in her chest. She caught a glimpse of June, who had come back inside and was now collecting blankets in one pile and pillows in another. Pillows. Ivy went back to her family's little campsite and looked around for her pillow, but there were only a couple of cereal bar wrappers and some bottles of water. All the blankets they used last night were gone.
"Where's my pillow?"
Ivy asked. She tried to keep the screech out of her voice, but she was pretty sure she failed. Layla shook a raggedy teddy bear with a rattle in its stomach at Aaron and glanced up at her.
"What pillow?"
"My pillow, the blue one, the only thing I brought out of the house."
Layla looked around as Aaron grabbed a chunk of her hair.
"Oh, they wanted the floor cleared for the blood drive. Maybe it got tossed into one of those piles over there."
She waved her free hand toward the back wall.
"You knew it was mine!"
Ivy yelled. A few people passing by threw her a look, but she didn't care.
"Why didn't you keep it?"
"I'm sorry, Ives, but I've got a little bit more on my mind than your baby pillow."
"It's not a baby pillow."
"I didn't mean it like that, but our entire house is gone."
Layla's voice was annoyingly soft. She stood up and took a step closer, like she wanted to comfort Ivy.
"We can get you another pillow."
Ivy couldn't listen to her anymore. She definitely couldn't look at her because Ivy was pretty sure she was about to cry. She turned away and headed toward the nearest pile of blankets. They were folded neatly, and she tried to leave them like that, but her hands were shaking, and she couldn't keep herself from tearing through the cotton and wool, praying for a flash of swirly blue. Her hands scraped at the polished floor, no blue in sight, so she moved on to the next pile. Ivy tried taking some deep yoga breaths in through her nose and letting them out slowly through her mouth, like her mom had started doing when she was pregnant. But Ivy just sounded like a huffing rhino. Nothing in this pile either. Ivy looked around the room for June, but she was gone, and so was her mom. She saw a few other kids from her school, though. Drew Dunaway, one brown arm casted to the elbow, was taking a few sack lunches from a volunteer and slipping them into his backpack. Annie Demetrius, in a pair of bright orange sweatpants, was arguing with a woman Ivy assumed must be her mother because they looked so much alike. Annie looked tired. Everyone looked tired. But everyone was moving, going about their business. And Ivy couldn't get a lock on anyone or anything. No blue pillow in sight. Some people were setting up tables and chairs. Nurses in blue scrubs unpacked a bunch of tiny plastic blood bags. Ivy's empty stomach lurched at the thought. She saw her dad come into the room carrying some clothes, and he looked so pale that Ivy's stomach jumbled up even more. Dad saw her and waved her over. He didn't smile. No one smiled. There was nothing to smile about.
"It's just a pillow,"
Ivy thought. But it wasn't just a pillow. Her notebook was inside, and those were the only two things she had in the world.
Couldn't she just have those two things?
Plus, what if someone found her notebook and saw all the things she drew? Ivy shuddered. She wasn't ready for anyone to see that notebook. She couldn't trust her own sister, much less the rest of the town. She didn't want to think about it. She just had to find her notebook. Simple as that.
She kept trying to breathe deeply, but she was doing it too fast and started feeling dizzy. Right when she thought she needed to sit down, Ivy saw a nurse with bright red hair and a stack of pillows in her arms. And in between dingy white and stripes and polka dots, there was a peak of blue.
"Excuse me,"
Ivy called, limping toward the nurse. The woman turned quickly and the top pillow tumbled to the floor. Ivy picked it up and tried to smile.
"I think you have my pillow,"
Ivy said. The woman tilted her head at Ivy.
These were donated by First Baptist.
No, I know, but that blue one right there?
Ivy tapped the edge of her pillow.
It's mine.
My sister accidentally put it in the pile.
Oh, I'm sorry, hun.
She set the stack on the floor and tugged Ivy's pillow out. She handed it over and took the cream one Ivy was holding in exchange. Ivy squeezed her only possession tight and finally breathed a normal breath.
Thank you,
Ivy said.
No problem. Hang in there.
The woman bundled the pile in her arms again and walked off toward the other nurses. Heading back toward her family, Ivy sneaked her hand into the pillowcase. She just wanted to feel the cool paper of her notebook. Her fingers reached inside and kept reaching. Her hand found a folded piece of paper, but no notebook. Suddenly, the pillow felt light as air. Too light. Ivy swallowed a scream and opened the pillowcase wider, nearly sticking her whole head inside. But all she saw was that infuriating drawing of her family she had stuffed into her pillowcase last night before the tornado hit. Her notebook wasn't there.
No, no, no!
Ivy dipped back into the pillowcase, hoping she'd just missed it somehow, tears gathering like storm clouds in her eyes.
Hey, you found it!
Layla said, suddenly beside her. Ivy didn't even hear her come up.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Ivy whispered. She looked around the room, her eyes seeking out every blip of purple and white.
It had to be here somewhere. There was no way she could leave this gym without that notebook,
without her hope chest.
Come on, Ives, Layla said softly. This is really rough. It's okay if you need to cry.
Ivy wiped her eyes and dragged her teeth over her bottom lip until her eyes were dry and her voice felt steady.
I'm not crying,
Ivy said. I'm not crying at all. Chapter 11. Displaced. Ivy blinked at the hotel room. They were in downtown Helenwood, about a mile from their ruined house at the Calliope Inn. The owner, Robin Coyle, offered a lower price for people displaced by the storm.
That's what Dad called it. Displaced. Like, someone just needed to come find them, and everything would be okay.
The building was an old Victorian house, and it was within walking distance of anywhere they might need to go. Plus, it was more of a bed and breakfast, so they'd be able to use the kitchen and have at least one meal guaranteed a day. The room was all dark wood and creaky. Creaky wood floors, two creaky dark wood four-poster beds, creaky dark wood rocking chair in one corner, a creaky sofa with dark wood armrests in another. Ivy was sure even the TV and mini-fridge were creaky.
This is the biggest room we have, Robin said,
and she brought in a big plastic box of granola bars, a jar of peanut butter, a loaf of bread, and a bunch of apples and oranges. She set it on the sofa and blew her dark curls out of her face. Her eyes were gentle-looking and were the same warm brown as her skin.
I wish there was more I could do. Y'all are going to be pretty cramped in here.
This is wonderful, Robin. Thank you,
Mom said, but her voice sounded flat and wispy, as thin as a tissue.
Let me know if I can help in any way, Robin said, and then left.
Ivy's eyes trailed after her. Of course, she'd met Robin once or twice. Helenwood was the size of a thimble, if that, and the Calliope Inn was a historical landmark. The whole town knew Robin Coyle. Her parents had owned the inn before her, and her grandparents before them, and on and on. Everyone, including Ivy, also knew that Robin only dated other women. Ever since she heard that, Layla had been the one to tell her, in fact. Just about a year ago when they ran into Robin at the home improvement store, hauling a gallon of paint in each hand. Ivy couldn't help but stare at the woman whenever she saw her around. Ivy's curiosity burned through her like a flame on a match.
I'm heading back to the house with Jasper,
Dad said, his voice jolting Ivy from her thoughts. He handed Evan over to Layla. Jasper was Dad's best friend from high school and his business partner. They ran a graphic design business in town.
We're meeting the insurance adjuster, and then we're going to see what we can salvage from the house.
Okay, Mom said. We need something for the boys to sleep in. These beds are tiny, and you know I'm always nervous I'm going to roll over on them. Dad nodded and dragged his hand through his hair. Ivy thought everyone looked so weird in their secondhand clothes. Nothing fit right.
I'll come back with something.
Be careful, Mom said, and then she hugged him. Aaron squawked in her arms, and Dad smoothed his hand over Aaron's head. Dad held on to Mom for a long time, whispering something in her hair. She nodded, and when they parted, she wiped her eyes. Ivy wanted Dad to hug her, too, but he just ruffled her hair and told her to be good as he headed for the door.
Can I come?
Ivy asked. Dad froze and turned, locking eyes with Mom before looking at Ivy.
Honey.
I just want to see it. That's all.
Ivy twined her hands together and held her breath. She wanted to go home. She knew it wasn't home anymore, but it was all she had. Plus, maybe she could convince her dad to stop by the school again, and she could check if her notebook had shown up in the gym. She felt sick every time she thought about all her stormy pictures lost out there for anyone to find.
Honey, not today,
Dad said.
It doesn't look any different than it did yesterday, and I don't want you to see that any more than you have to, okay?
Ivy nodded, but it wasn't okay. She kept waiting for all this to just stop. To wake up. Or for time to reverse or something. Anything so that it wasn't really happening. Layla came up behind Ivy and ran her hand down Ivy's head, pulling gently on a lock of frizzy hair. Ivy flinched and moved away from her before Layla could even think about braiding it. Ivy knew she was being mean, but she didn't want her sister to comfort her, especially not the way she used to, by playing with Ivy's hair. Because Layla wasn't the sister she used to be, and that's who Ivy wanted. She wanted everything to go back to the way it was, before the storm, before Layla and Gigi's fight, before the twins, before. Layla didn't say anything, and she and Mom started moving around the room. They had a pile of clothes they got from the elementary school, as well as a bunch of blankets and even some soft toys for the twins. Layla put a few things into drawers while Mom checked the boys' diapers, and Ivy just stood there, watching her whole life spill into one creaky little hotel room. Ivy, can you change Aaron? Mom asked. She kissed his head before handing him over.
Sure,
Ivy said. Ivy found diapers and wipes in the baby bag and got to work. Changing diapers was pretty gross, but Mom didn't usually ask Ivy to do it if it was going to be, well, messy. So most of the time it wasn't so bad. Ivy just pretended she was changing a doll. She secured the little Velcro tabs around Aaron's waist. His skin was soft and smelled like rain and baby powder. He whined a little, and Ivy did her monkey face at him, puffing out her cheeks and pulling on her ears. He immediately stopped and giggled. Ivy tickled his belly before snapping up his onesie. He gave her a gummy grin so cute that she felt guilty for wishing him away a few minutes ago.
Mom?
Ivy asked.
Hmm?
She was shaking out the onesies they got from the school and checking their sizes.
Do you want me to go to the store and get anything for you? Milk and shampoo and stuff like that? Or maybe some art stuff, you know, to use when you start your next Harriet book. It might be a good distraction.
She trailed off as Layla shot her a weird look. Ivy winced. It wasn't like writing books and drawing were high on Mom's priority list right now. Still, Ivy had to get out of here and look for her notebook. And if Ivy was able to get something her mom needed anyway, then that was just convenience, not selfishness. Her mom did need paper and art supplies. It had been way too long since Mom worked on Harriet. Ivy missed them. Harriet and her mother. Her mother sighed.
Ivy, Dad and I don't even have our wallets right now. We have no bank cards, no way to get to our money. Until we figure things out with the bank, we're not getting any non-essentials. Dad will get what we need while he's out with Jasper. Other than that, there's too much else to worry about right now. And art isn't one of them.
Ivy nodded, but her stomach sank to her toes. She decided to give honesty a go. Well, Ivy said, do you think I could go back to the...
Ivy, I cannot talk about this right now,
Mom snapped. Then she sank onto the bed. She was facing the window, so her back was to Ivy, but Ivy could tell she was crying. The Aberdeen girls were experts at crying silently, but their shaking shoulders gave them away every time. Ivy's face burned with shame. Layla flicked a burp cloth in the air and folded it into a neat little square, scowling at Ivy. Ivy waited for her mom to get up, but she stayed there, staring out the window. It was weird. In a house, you could go into your room by yourself when you were mad or needed to cry. This was one single space, no walls or doors between them, unless you counted the bathroom. Ivy didn't really want to go hang out in the bathtub. Ivy had no clue what to do, so she took Aaron over to Layla and laid him on the bed in front of them. He grabbed his toes and tried to stuff them in his mouth while Ivy helped Layla fold the donated clothes.
You're doing it wrong,
Layla said, snapping a onesie out of her hands.
I'm trying to help. Then help.
Layla folded the onesie in half, lengthwise, and then down. Like this.
Does it really matter?
Ivy asked.
Yes, it makes it smaller in the drawer so there's more room for other stuff.
What other stuff?
Your stuff, my stuff, Mom and Dad's.
We don't have any stuff. Ivy's voice cracked on the last few words.
But we will. Ivy, you can't be selfish right now.
I'm being selfish. What about...
But Ivy cut herself off as Layla frowned at her.
Normally, Layla was a good sister. Normally, she was Ivy's friend. But normally had been sucked away by stormy drawings and tears and tornadoes.
Why can't you be nice for once?
Layla asked.
Things are really awful, in case you didn't notice. Do you get that we've lost everything? Everything, Ives. Pictures we can't replace. Mom's art, my lacrosse stuff, Dad's computers, all our furniture. The house.
I know, I get it, I'm not stupid.
Girls, please.
Mom said from the other bed. But she didn't turn to look at them. She sat there, one hand on Evan's stomach so he didn't fall off the bed. Layla sighed and rubbed her temples before picking up another shirt.
I don't know what I did to make you act so mean lately, she said quietly, but get over it. For everyone's sake.
Ivy's eyes widened. Layla didn't even care what she did or why Ivy was mad. Only that she got over it. Ivy opened her mouth to say something extra mean. What, she hadn't quite figured out. But she never got the chance, because there was a knock at the door. Robin stood in the open doorway. Ivy guessed Dad forgot to close it on his way out. And she was looking between Layla and Ivy in a way that made Ivy wonder how much she'd overheard.
Hi, she said, smiling. I have some clothes that might come in handy. Interested?
Oh, yes, absolutely, Mom said, standing up and wiping at her eyes.
Layla, could you go and grab those, please?
Layla nodded and moved toward the door, but Robin nodded at Ivy.
Actually, I wanted Ivy here to take a look at them. They're my nieces. She's about Ivy's size and left them here on her last visit. Is that okay?
Me? Ivy asked. That little flicker of curiosity she always felt around Robin flared bright. Robin smiled.
Yes, you.
Of course, thank you, Mom said. She waved Ivy off just as Aaron started up his time for a nap cry. Ivy swore her mother looked relieved to get rid of her for a while. Chapter 12. Robin. If Ivy was going to draw Robin, she'd use a lot of fruit colors. Tangy tangerine and bright cherry red and deep blueberry. Robin was a little younger than Ivy's mom, and she always wore stuff that had fruit patterns on it. But not in a weird way. In a cool, vintagey kind of way. Today she was wearing dark jeans and a light blue top with little green apples all over it. It made Ivy hungry. Her stomach rumbled as she limped after Robin down the stairs. They wove through the big entryway and the library packed with all sorts of dark-colored hardback books. Then through a room with a lot of fancy chairs and sofas and crystal lamps. and finally into an office next to the kitchen. It was small, with shelves fixed above a dark wood desk and a floral-patterned armchair in one corner. A window took up one whole wall, and the room was bright, the sun streaming through gauzy white curtains. "Here you go, Ivy," Robin said, motioning toward a laundry basket full of clothes perched on the armchair. "Danielle's style is pretty simple, but it'll do for now, I think. Take what you like."
"Thanks,"
Ivy mumbled, and walked over to the basket. There were two pairs of decent jeans in her size, as well as a couple of pairs of leggings and a few cute tunics. There was even a forest green backpack. Everything smelled fresh and clean and cared for. It smelled homey. Ivy's stomach growled again as she ran her hands over the soft cotton and tucked a few shirts under her arm. "Be right back," Robin said. Ivy nodded because she didn't trust herself to say anything. She wanted to sit down with her notebook and pens and draw every t-shirt folded in her drawer at home, every skirt hanging in her closet. One had little red and aqua owls all over it. Mom bought it for her birthday last year. It wasn't fruit, but Ivy thought Robin would like it. "Find something that'll work?" Robin asked from behind her. Ivy nodded and wiped her eyes before she turned around, just in case. Since the storm, tears liked to leak out of her eyes without her even realizing it. They were sneaky like that. Robin stood in the doorway, two plates in her hands.
"I was hungry. How about you?"
On the plates, Ivy saw slices of ham and melted cheese between slices of thick, multi-grain bread, mouth-watering kettle-cooked potato chips on the side. She knew she probably shouldn't eat without her family, but she was powerless in front of a toasted ham and Swiss. Robin set the plates down on her desk and moved the laundry basket to the floor, freeing up the armchair. Then she plopped into her desk chair with a sigh and offered Ivy a plate.
"Thanks,"
Ivy said, sitting down with the clothes still in her lap. She popped a sour cream and onion chip into her mouth, and the salty tang went perfectly with the loud crunch. Pure heaven.
"Thank you," Robin said. "It's been a while since I've had a friend for lunch."
They both smiled and dived into their sandwiches. It was so good, it almost made Ivy want to cry or laugh or scream. Or draw it. Yes. She would draw an everlasting memorial to this sandwich, if she had the paper.
"So, Ivy,"
Robin said as she finished off the last of her chips. She wiped her fingers on a napkin and sighed. Ivy braced herself for the inevitable. "Are you okay? How are you holding up? I'm sure everything will work out. Blah, blah, blah."
"This whole thing really sucks, huh?"
Robin said instead. Ivy nearly choked on a chip. Robin not only said the words, she said them with punch, with a pop and a pow. Ivy had never heard an adult say anything like that before. Adults were supposed to be calm and collected. They were supposed to comfort you. They were supposed to keep you from seeing how much something actually did suck. But maybe not, because as Robin's words settled, Ivy felt more comforted than she had since the storm hit. Maybe even before that.
"Yeah,"
Ivy said.
"Yeah, it really does."
Robin rested her elbows on her knees and looked at Ivy.
"I can't imagine, Ivy. I really can't."
Ivy nodded and shrugged all at the same time.
"I can't really either."
"Well, that makes sense."
"What does?"
"Just not being sure how you feel right now, how to process all this."
If Ivy could draw herself right now, she'd be wrapped in clouds and down blankets, pillows and pastel-colored rainbows. Every soft thing. Again, Ivy could only nod, her throat thick and achy. She didn't know how to process anything lately.
"You know," Robin said, "I come from a big family. 4 sisters."
"Really?
Are you the oldest or youngest?"
Robin smiled.
"Neither."
"Me too."
"I know."
And the way Robin said it, it was like she really did know. Ivy wondered again how much Robin had overheard of her and Layla's arguing. How Mom totally tuned them out. Ivy took a few seconds to look around the office and get her breath back. Robin let her. The room was painted a soft blue, what Ivy would call Arctic blue, and Robin's desk was big and old-looking and covered with lots of picture frames. The same lady appeared in a lot of them. She was taller than Robin, with glossy dark brown hair, brown skin, and eyes the color of a shiny penny. She looked sort of familiar. In all the pictures, she and Robin were smiling, their arms around each other. In one, the woman pressed a kiss to Robin's cheek. Ivy got a stormy feeling in her full stomach.
Who's that?
Ivy asked, motioning toward the kiss picture. Robin twisted her body to look at the photo behind her.
That's my partner, Jessa Alvarez.
Partner? Like, with the inn? Robin smiled. No, she's my girlfriend.
Oh,
that's why the woman looked familiar. Ivy had seen her around town before. Ivy thought she remembered seeing Jessa at last year's pumpkin festival with Robin. She's a photographer and travels all over, but she lives in Philadelphia, Robin said. Until next year, that is. We're getting married next March, and she's moving here. She's coming to visit in a couple of weeks. You can meet her.
Oh,
Ivy said again. She stared at the kiss photograph. They both looked so happy. Huge smiles on their faces, holding hands, some mountain rising up behind them. Of course she was Robin's girlfriend. A real-life girl with a girlfriend. Partner with the inn. Ivy felt like an idiot. A blush crept up her neck and into her cheeks.
I should probably go.
She set her empty plate on the little table next to the chair and stood up. The clothes and backpack in her lap tumbled to the ground and she bent down to pick them up.
All right, Robin said, standing.
Then she started rummaging in a desk drawer.
First, let me give you... No, that's okay. You've done enough. Thanks for lunch.
Ivy backed up toward the door, stuffing the clothes into the backpack. She felt as though she were a dark rain cloud about to drench the earth.
Ivy, wait.
She was at the door now, but she bumped into the frame instead of going through the actual doorway. Robin frowned at her, not in a mad way, more like Robin was baffled. Ivy turned to go, but Robin touched her shoulder, too gently for Ivy to ignore. Ivy forced herself to face her. Robin's eyes were kind, but also a little sad, and Ivy couldn't make sense of them. Then Ivy looked down and saw what Robin was holding out to her. A notebook. And not just any notebook, but a decomposition notebook. It wasn't like Ivy's. Instead of purple and white, this one was butter yellow with large butterflies on the cover.
I remember seeing you around before, your head buried in a notebook, Robin said.
Thought you could use a spare. I have a lot of these lying around.
I journal a lot. Or I used to before I took over the Calliope for my parents.
You wrote in a journal?
Robin nodded. I started when I was about your age, too. I grew up in this house, you know. My first entry was a minute-by-minute account of a ghost hunt in the attic with my best friend Laurel. It was riveting.
Ivy smiled. Did you draw pictures, too?
Robin laughed. I wish. I can't even draw stick people. But I would if I could.
Ivy thought about teaching June how to draw a whale last night. Or maybe it was earlier today. The days were all mixed up, but she felt a little calmer than she did a second ago.
Do you draw?
Robin asked. Ivy nodded.
Well, in that case.
Robin turned and rummaged around some more in her desk drawers. Then she held out a pack of brand new colored pencils.
They're not fancy, but they color.
It's a start, at least. Ivy took the pencils and the notebook. The thick cover was smooth under her fingers.
Thank you. They're perfect.
Ivy made her way back upstairs, hugging the notebook to her chest like it was full of precious jewels. Pretty soon, it would be. Ivy jolted awake to a rumbling sound. At first she thought it was thunder, quiet and far off, but still real thunder. Her heart jumped into her throat and choked off a whimper. Then Ivy realized it was her dad, talking really low. She was lying on the floral-printed sofa in the hotel room, where she had all but passed out as soon as